Hang on, Lou didn't have everything queued right. We'll be get going here in a second. He's looking for the intro. I know we're 2 minutes late. Come on, Lou.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention! The government is
an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different. Woo! Here we go, here we go. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. And to any of our listeners that are frozen, stuck behind snowbanks, trapped at work, trapped at school, or anything like that, I warned you. Calamity comes, calamity comes. Hey, I just got an email back from the Tea Party about me telling them. Anyway, we'll get into it in a minute. The local Tea Party, I found out, is meeting in a Masonic temple. And they sent me hey, come check it out. And I'm like, I would never go to one of your meetings in a Masonic temple. That's just ridiculous. And see what kind of hate mail I got back from these people. These are the people that bring Elvis as the MC for the last Tea Party we went to. Well, let's get back in the room here. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live. Right now it is 5:05. We're a little bit late because Lou had to set up some cameras, and or a camera. Let's make it sound like we're doing a multi-camera shoot here for Bible study tonight. Now, just so you know, I'm leaving here right at 7 o'clock, and I'm going to run down because they wait for me to start the Bible study. They don't have to, but they don't want me like lumbering in and distracting everybody in the middle of prayer. So there won't be any phone calls afterwards. So if you got to talk to me, do it during the show. Don't call on the breaks. Call during the show and share it with everybody, mister. If it's important enough for you to talk to me, it's important enough for you to share it with the whole class. Right, Lou? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we're here. I got some more emails yesterday. People are like, where are you? Well, we're right at the front gates of Sequoia National Park. I mean, I could jump in my car and within half an hour, I'm frolicking in the big trees. The poorly named Sherman tree or Grant tree or whatever they're calling them. Yeah, I want to change them to Lee tree, but the what?
The Hitler tree.
The Hitler tree. We're calling it the Hitler tree. The Grant tree is the Hitler tree. They don't have a Lincoln tree, thank you. But that's where we are. We're in the belly button of Central California. We are behind enemy lines. We're in the most oppressive state in the nation, I believe. I think only the District of Columbia would be worse. And it's not really a state. It's like a freak city kind of thing, you know, where they have no rights and they have, you know, I don't even know what goes on. I've been there. I've been to Washington, D.C. It's one of the most disgusting cities I've ever been in. And I apologize to my friends in Detroit, but the only city I think that was worse during the period that I was visiting both cities was Detroit. Detroit and D.C., kind of the same feel I got, except without any monuments, you got Detroit, so that makes Detroit a little worse, I guess. But that was just the feel I got. Now every city's like that. I was just looking on Chicago. Boy, Lakeside Drive. Cars frozen in place. Oh, no, what am I going to do? They got Stacy depth of snow in New York City. That's 60 inches, folks. I told Stacy if she was in New York and went outside, we would just see the top of her cute little head, if at all. And so it hits, folks. It doesn't have to be the New World Order. It doesn't have to be aliens from planet Goltoid or whatever. It can just be snow. And what's funny is, remember back in 2000, as recent as March of 2000, they were saying that it probably would never snow again because of global warming. So all you people shoveling global warming and cutting wood to fight that global warming, and your electricity's off because, you know, the big icicles on the from global warming on the poles. I hope you're taking this in stride and drafting your letter to that lunatic Al Gore and asking them to come over and shovel some global warming off your front step. It's insane. It is completely and totally insane. Our world has gone mad. You know, what's going on here now. And I love it. I love every minute of this. It got down to, 24 degrees last night, you said, Debbie?
Yeah.
24 degrees here. Ooh. You know, that'll kill Californians. I don't know how many homeless people probably froze to death last night. You know, how many liberals put their poodles out and they didn't come back, you know, because of the cold. And we just said, hey, let's not have a fire. Let's just rough it. So we don't have a fire right now.
Poodles are hunting dogs.
Poodles are hunting dogs?
Yeah.
What do you hunt with a poodle? Other poodles? I mean...
No, they're bird retrievers.
They're what?
They're retrievers.
They're retrievers? They're bird retrievers? Well, that's good to know, Lou. I didn't know that. When did you become... Lou's becoming an expert on dogs ever since we got him this... Chewiener dog. I think he's a Chihuahua Wiener Jack Russell, so I don't know. Jack Chewiener dog. I hear the dog yipping a little bit. I look over and I go, what are you doing? Lou goes, I just clipped the dog's toenails. I mean, just without even being asked. You're a good dog owner, Lou, and I'm proud of you. He's been training the dog. You got this special dog training collar. And if we could just get it to work with Lou, we'd be okay. But he's doing great with the dog. And I have to compliment you on that, Lou. Dog's little claws were like poking holes in all my t-shirts, and now they're like perfectly rounded off. And I mean, sure, he's missing one foot now, but I'm sure that'll grow back. And what gave you the idea to use the head shears to trim the dog's claws? Did you see that on YouTube or something?
No.
A zombie movie? There was some... Oh, today, the 2nd of February. I didn't give that out. This is the 2nd of February, 2011. If you're listening at another time, you can't call in. But the phone number to call in is 559-561... What's the rest of the number, Lou? I forgot.
8225.
8225. 8225. I forgot while I was sitting here. I used to have it right here, and I took it down because we had guests come in. I didn't want, like, you know, big phone numbers looking like I couldn't remember my own phone number, but truth is I can't. And we waited to the last minute. We're always doing that for holidays. You know, like Christmas, we go Christmas shopping like the day before. And today we went to the grocery store to, you know, for today's holiday for Groundhog Day, and we couldn't find a single groundhog in the meat counter. You know, so we can't have our traditional Groundhog Day meal. There was no groundhog left anywhere. We went to three different grocery stores. Did you have any groundhog? And they're like, no. So, you know, because they know we're stupid for not coming like last week. And, you know, those honey-baked groundhogs, they were all out. They were all out of honey-baked groundhogs. So instead, we're going to have our traditional dinner tonight after we get home. It'll be chicken. And we may end up having it tomorrow because we waited. And Lou didn't get me any Groundhog Day gifts. We didn't put up the groundhog tree. I'm feeling really, you know, really un-holiday spirited right now because I didn't. Did this stupid groundhog even see a shadow? Are we going to get another 6 months of ice age or what? I don't know. You know, Puxatawny Phil.
He's a groundhog, not a weatherman.
He's a groundhog, not a weatherman, Lou. The only thing I liked about it was the movie with Bill Murray, Groundhog Day. That's the only thing I like about Groundhog Day. So, of course, we'll watch that and, you know, cuddle around the non-fire because we're not going to have a fire because I'm going to make my family suffer and get tough. And, you know, maybe we'll make some popcorn and I'll wait till it's cold to serve it, you know, tradition.
No pop,
cold Pop-Tarts. You can have cold Pop-Tarts. But we're not going to have our honey-baked groundhog today. Unless Stacy wants to run out with the Mini 14 that's above my head and maybe get one out there in the field. We don't have. You'd have to go up really high to get like marmosets. A marmoset. It looks like a groundhog, and they're just as vicious. And I don't know if they're protected.
I've actually killed and eaten a groundhog.
I know. I've eaten groundhog. In fact, I've eaten relatively a whole groundhog village. Groundhog does not taste like chicken. Groundhog tastes just like squirrel. It tastes like a thicker, meatier squirrel, and or rabbit. If you've eaten rabbit or squirrel or. Yeah, it's hard to get the hide off a groundhog. Yeah, you've got to make sure you get a bald one, and just you know, you can shave the groundhog. If you have any traditional Groundhog Day groundhog recipes, you can call in 559-561-8225 also, and we will share those with the listening audience. We got Lou downloaded our month statistics, and here's the surprise: the biggest boost in listenership for, you know, people that come back and listen was India. We have 110 regular listeners in India. 110. In India. I mean, America, you know, we had like 1,900 regular listeners, and that's just for our website, not Ustream versus Ubroadcast, just how many people go to the embedded player on our website, and we could see where they were and how long they dwelled. But I was really surprised. I mean, I knew America, we'd have, you know, quite a few. And, of course, Liberty Tree Radio, like, quadruples that for the second hour. But for that first hour, it's amazing. Minuteman's asking, did you at least hang up your groundhog stockings? You might get a lump of coal. Yeah, we did put up the groundhog stockings, but unfortunately, Lou was still in them when we put them up. And they immediately tore off of the mantle and fell on the... Because we were using his rag wool socks. So we didn't... I don't know if I'll get a lump of coal or not. And the traditional... Well, you know, I need to know what the traditional, like... You know, Christmas has the mistletoe. Lou was saying that we have to put up a moldy toe and kiss under it, but and he volunteered his own toe again. But we said no. And
hey.
We're going to give him foot powder for Groundhog's Day. But where was I on that? I forgot where I was going. Oh, boy. Enough with the groundhog stuff. I just can't get over how people all day on the radio, Groundhog Day, the world's falling apart, you know. In Egypt, it got violent again because those that support the government started fighting back, and everybody's screaming, it's the Muslim Brotherhood, don't forget, stop falling in for it. Did you see what Obongo did last night? Oh, that's what we were talking about. Thank you for reminding me, General Carver. Last night, Obongo got on there and said, what's the name of the president of Egypt? Mubarak. Mubarak, you better do this. He's trying to steal this whole thing. Like, say, hey, it looks like it. He may get overthrown. We better make it look like we meant that to happen. Well, you did mean it to happen. General Carver was saying that it's probably India's intelligence. Yeah, they probably have at least 110 people in India that are intelligent enough. I noticed the busiest day was the day that we had the Shauna Ford interviews on. And I figure a bunch of those were FBI agents. And Olima also sent me the downloads, and that was also the number one day. It was like 1,004 downloads for the pod people on that day, and that's exceptional because usually it fluctuates. Some are 50, some are 400 per day on download. You never know who's going to miss the show and then download it. But on that Monday that we had Shauna Ford's interview up, we had 1,004 downloads. So I figure everybody at the FBI, Homeland Security, Southern Perversion Law Center, all you freaks that are out there that listen to the replay of this stuff, yes, we know you're listening, made certain that you got copies of it. I want to see here. I found out today, it's not loading. Maybe I got to forward it. I found out that the Tulare County Tea Party meets in a Masonic Lodge. So I sent him an email saying, you know, there's no way I'm going to meet with you. You guys just don't get it. The last time I went out, you guys were at, like, the Ag Center. You had an Elvis impersonator. You had punk rock bands. This is not about the Holy Cause of Liberty, and I'm trying to see if they email me back, but I can't get it to open. Open, so that's kind of weird. But I was going to talk about that. I was going to talk about stuff going on in Egypt. I was talking about the new traffic fines. Remember I told you about the roadblocks? I got two stories. One about the new unwarranted searches that are going on, not just in California, but around the country, but also the ridiculous fines that they increased the fine rates, just the basic. Because on top of that, you guys know, anybody that's ever got like here, you can't talk on a cell phone and drive, you know, unless it's got the hands-free. You know, say, oh, that's only $147. But by the time you get out of there, it's like a $600 ticket because you pay the victim's assistance fund, the DNA fee, all that kind of weird stuff, and it adds up. I'm looking here, and I can't find that now. Here it is, from Deanne Soares. Come on, open. I want to see what she says. This is going to be cold on the air, because I just sent it before I went on the air. This is from the Central Valley Tea Party. It's an old building that we're able to rent for cheap. Believe I know of Freemasons and the secret societies. You don't even know me or what we do and attempt to do. I believe a lot of reasons this nation is falling apart. One is people that grumble and do nothing to make a difference. I would encourage that before you attack, you look into what we have been trying to do. If the building keeps you away, so be it. Good luck to you and your efforts in changing our country. By the way, I'm not for wars, killing babies, or open borders. Have a good life, Deanne. Okay, I don't have time to write her back now. But
we actually do know you.
We've been to your meetings, and we saw what a ridiculous thing the Tea Party is doing. The rhinos that run the Tea Party. What I sent her was, I would never attend a meeting of the Tea Party that is held at a Masonic lodge. That's what I sent her. That shows a severe lack of understanding as to why this nation is falling apart. Why not a mosque? Secret societies are evil, and is that what the folks that run the Tea Party support? Long before the Republicans started the so-called Tea Party, real patriots have been organizing here. We do not need an Elvis impersonator to educate the people. The Tea Party is not the 3% as the original true Sons of Liberty were. You guys feed on the temporary anger of the NASCAR dads and soccer moms. As soon as you guys get control of the government, they will all fade away. When you do, I know we will still have an open border, be murdering babies, and fighting a global wars for corporations. You have nothing in common with the Founding Fathers. You do a disservice to the holy cause of liberty. I'll send her a reply later. But let's see here. It's Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, at centralvalleyteaparty.com. So that's Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, at centralvalleyteaparty.com. And I want you guys, don't comment on any of the other stuff, but the fact that they meet in a Masonic lodge. It's like last week, yesterday, we talked about the Muslims meeting in the VFW. What's going on here? You know, it's like we honor these evil things when we cohabitate with them, when we intermingle with them. So I'm glad. I can't believe I got such an immediate response. I wrote that thing about 45 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I thought, I'll never hear back from him. So at least, you know, Diana or whatever. But I'm going to give him a call. I'm actually going to call him on the phone tomorrow. And said, actually, like Lou said, we do know you. We've been to two of your events, and they were pathetic. The best one was the one we went to. Were you with us when we went to the one in Hanford,
no.
Lou? That you're still. I think you were still in public school before your mother and I got married. And we got up and spoke, pastor spoke, and then the next ones that we went to were like, hey, we'd like to speak. Oh, no, we can't talk about religion. And they got Pastor Jim Franklin from this sodomite-embracing church in Fresno to get up and speak, and he knows nothing about the American Holy Cause of Liberty. I listened to his radio show, and he's just a mainstream pastor. You know, I don't wish him ill, but it's pathetic. The Tea Parties in America are literally here just to exploit the fear and anger of the soccer moms and the NASCAR dads, or inverse that any way you like. It's just sad. And, you know, when you bring up, hey, you Republicrats, because that's all they are at the Tea Party, they're just angry Republicrats. They're no different than the libtards. You guys, you'll have, Bush had power for 8 years. What did he do? What did Bush do for 8 years? Nothing. He didn't repeal one firearms unjust law. That's ridiculous. So I really do not like the Tea Party. I don't like anything they stand for. I think in its initial inception, there may be some that follow that still that I don't know about. But the one around me is commercial. They want to charge meals to go eat with people. And, you know, I think they're having, who are they bringing in? What's her name? Sarah Palin. And it's like $25 to go hear her speak. You know, and they're going to donate all the money to something. I don't know. But and then, like, the Right to Lifers brought in Sarah Palin's daughter, the unwed daughter who chose to have a child out of wedlock rather than, for whatever reason, maybe he beats her. I don't know. But it was good that she didn't abort the baby. But that's not, we don't honor that lifestyle, the single mother teen thing. We don't make heroes out of that. You know, I'm not saying she should be shunned, but inversely, she shouldn't be honored. General Carver says, I suppose the Sons of Liberty meeting in Liberty Tavern way back in the day had Mozart impersonators. You know, they had a Baroque guy come in. They had a harp and a flautist in there. What was he playing? A Jew's harp, did you say, Lou? Lou wants to learn how to play the Jew's harp. We got combs today because of the Larry Wick thing. We're getting combs, and I've already cut my forehead with the comb, and so they're lethal weapons. We went to Walmart and bought a bunch of combs. We watched a movie last night I want to share with you. This is, and I can never remember the guy's name, Randy Quaid? I can never keep track of the Quaid brothers. Not the lunatic one, the one that played Jerry Lee Lewis, Pretty Lady, in Great Balls of Fire. You guys help me out here.
Dennis Quaid,
thank you. Dennis Quaid played this great character. The first 10 minutes of the movie is the greatest opening to any movie I've ever seen. It's not an action movie. Oh, they had the Mad Hatter at a Tea Party thing you went to, Warland? That's insane. Wow. And General Carver's agreeing with me that they've been sabotaged, usurped, taken over, infilled, and deflated. That's what happened to the Tea Party. So we watched a movie last night called Savior, just like, you know, our Savior. It starts out in France at an American embassy across the street at a cafe, and I'm just going to give you the opening scene and encourage you to seek this movie out, Savior. It was made by Oliver Stone. They spent $10 million on it, and it only made like $12,000. It appeared like briefly and disappeared in America. And the reason that it didn't get a lot of attention is because it doesn't show the Serbians as the bad guys. It doesn't show the Christians as these evil, vile people. Now, there are evil Serbians in the movie. But it shows the Kosovars and who are the other ones in there? The Muslims. It shows the Mujahideen there. It shows everybody else messing around. But it shows this one American who ends up fighting in Serbia as a mercenary. I'll tell you how he gets there. The Quaid character. Making moral decisions to be... And he's got a cross around his neck. He's obviously a Catholic in the movie from different scenes that define the characters. But he knows what's right and what's wrong. Although he does cross the line sometimes. But he makes a decision and makes a stand, and that's the story of the movie. But he's a sniper. He's got this really weird AK-47, those of you that like guns, because we found it by typing in best sniper movies ever. And, of course, you saw the usual ones that we've all heard of, Enemy at the Gate, Shooter. But this one was, like, way at the bottom of the list, and people said, hey, you got to check it out. But the opening scene is he's with his family in a cafe in France, and he's obviously some type of bodyguard for the... for the embassy, and this uniformed soldier comes over and says, hey, you know, this officer, played by a really good Skarsgård. I don't know if I pronounce this. He's like a Scandinavian actor. I love him. Everything I see him in, he's a great actor. And he comes over and says, hey, we got to go. There's a high, you know, they raised the threat level. We've got a credible threat for Muslim activity in the area. So the little kid's like, Daddy, why weren't you at church? And he goes, hey, you don't have to go to church to believe in God, which I disagree with. But he's, and the little kid says, well, well, what do you believe? He says, well, I believe God's in everybody. It's in your mom. It's in me. It's in you. And he goes, even in the bad people? He goes, yes, God's even in the bad people. And so he leaves. And I'm not ruining anything because it's in the trailer for this thing that we watched first. And as he's walking across the street, a bomb goes off, a car bomb goes off, and it wipes out his wife and kid. They cut to, you know, 8 or 9 days later. He's in the embassy. There's Marines guarding two coffins. You see that his wife and kid are dead, and he's just sitting there grinding his teeth. And then the first army, the honor guard, come in, and they're going to take him back to bury them in America. And his buddy walks up to him and says, well, you know, he goes, don't worry about it. We'll hunt these people down. We'll find them. He goes, find them? He goes, they're a block away at the mosque. You know it, and I know it. These dirty, stinking terrorists. There's some language in this thing. And, for some reason, the pastor's calling me. Take it, Lou. See who it is. And he says, we know where they are. So then they come to get the body. Just take it. And he says, okay, take the bodies. He goes, what are you going to do? And he just kind of stands up and he walks down the street. He pulls his 92F or whatever he had out of his holster. He's wearing a suit. He walks into the mosque and he starts shooting people in the back during prayer and shooting them in the back of the head. They're running around. He empties a magazine of about 14 rounds, kills 7 or 8 people, and then walks out into the street and just waits there. Well, here comes the army officer. What's up? And
he wants me to switch it.
Oh, yeah, listen to it and see what it is. And wow, yeah, Mark Kornke's playing Beatles, and it's going out over our radio station. Pastor hates the Beatles as much as I do. So his military officer friend comes and goes, we got to get you out of here. Right then, one of the terrorists comes out of the mosque with a gun, and he's going to shoot our friend Quaid. And the army officer drills him right through the chest and kills him. And then the next scene is both of them training in the French Foreign Legion, and I'm going to leave you with that. And they end up in Bosnia. He said, I just want to go somewhere where I can kill Muslims. So this movie is very good. It shows some – you can't watch it with the light of heart. It shows exactly what kind of torturous things the Muslims did. The repercussions of women who were raped and they were abandoned by their families if they were carrying children. It just, you know, weird things. It shows that – some of the Serbians were vicious, vile people that were just their opportunistic killers. It shows a little bit of hope. It shows a little bit of truth. And I know it doesn't cover Clinton's war completely in the Balkans, but it shows the UN coming in and killing everybody, indiscriminately just firing on villages that were mixed between all three groups. The movie's amazing, and it's called Savior, S-A-V-I, I can't write stuff. Can you find a link to the IMDb and put it in there for them so they can find it? I don't know if Netflix has it, but we downloaded it off their Demonoid, or can you get it off Hulu?
I think so.
He thinks it's on Hulu. I don't know where Lou gets this stuff. I think he goes down to alleys and trade stuff. I got to plug my phone back in here. So I never know where he gets this stuff. Yeah, Savior. And what did you think of it, Stacy? Did it scare you? It was pretty gory, so you might not want to show it to the ladies. Lou and I, when he went into that mosque to go after those terrorists, and they really were the terrorists. I mean, it's not like it was just some innocent mosque. It was right down the street from the U.S. Embassy in France, in Paris, I assume, or maybe Marseille. But he just just walks right up to him and drills him in the middle of midday prayer. And I'm thinking to myself, if my wife and kids were killed by Muslims and I knew they were in the mosque, yeah, it could happen. Is that the righteous way to do it? Only if you knew those were the people responsible. And he worked in some kind of intelligence, so he knew who the terrorists were. It's like we had somebody up here. I don't know if you guys remember the movie Taken. With what was that actor's name? I love the actor. He's a British. He's actually always plays Scotsman. Oh, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about Taken here in a minute. We're going to talk about the implications of a Christian Liam Neeson taking back his family. And I'm going to tell you what one pastor told me, and I couldn't believe it. We'll be back after the break. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. That went fast, the half hour. We'll be right back. Check out the link in there for that movie.
Side by side, together with a fella named of George. Johnny Freedom, you can meet him on each page of history. About him made you think of Dan O'Boone.
Johnny Freedom, you can meet him on each page of history. He's the spirit of America, our country's pride and joy. And talk to Johnny Freedom, that's our boy.
If we need a mess of thinking, he's the Lincoln of the day. If we're fixing for a tussle, it's his muscle all the way. If we need a handsome fella so the ladies' hearts can throb, there's a Yankee Doodle Dandy, always handy for the job.
Johnny Freedom, you can meet him on each page of history. He's the spirit of America, our country's pride and joy. Hats off to Johnny Freedom,
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Okay, we're coming back. This is Dutch Jones. You're listening to Stronghold Radio, coming to you from somewhere in the middle of California, specifically the Cahuilla Commonwealth, the church at Cahuilla. You can find out more about us by going to www. I don't even need to say that anymore. You guys know www. DutchJones.info. DutchJones. Notice I switched the E and the N around. .info, DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. You can go there, you can check out training manuals, you can link to the Church at Cahuilla, you can go to see what Chuck Baldwin's site looks like from there. We've got links to everything. We're going to be adding more links. We're even going to put a page for things to do while in the area. So those of you that want to come out on vacation, you can realize, hey, if I come a certain time of year, I can go river rafting. Another time of year, I can go sledding. I think there's even a... Is there a ski resort around this place? No, nowhere near? Oh, really far away. So we'll put all that tourism stuff there, what I think are the best restaurants to eat at, what Lou thinks are the best restaurants to eat at, because he only orders plain hamburgers, so don't expect too much from Lou. But we'll put that up there for you guys so you can come out. If you're coming out for training, coming out for vacation, you want to check us out. We're going to do more of that. I was talking about the movie Taken with Liam Neeson, and those of you that don't know, it dealt with the Russian mafia and all the Eastern European junk. There were Muslims involved in it, and they were stealing beautiful young American or European girls and putting them into the sex slave trade. I'm not going to go into the movie, but they stole the wrong girl. Liam Neeson played a CIA operative, not an analyst, an operative who killed a lot of people and was retired now and just doing basic security for concerts and stuff like that and bodyguard work. And it was his, you know, estranged wife who was stupid enough to let his daughter go over to Europe. And boy, it really hit a lot of chords with me, being that I'm in the same situation where my ex-wife has no basic common sense when it comes to protecting her children. And anyway, so he goes and he follows the line, and just devastation ensues. You know, it's really unrealistic Hollywood type, and he is able to save his daughter in the end, and everything is good and happy. But we had a pastor go, yeah, I saw that, and he was not authorized to do that. He didn't have the sword of vengeance from the magistrate. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And this is a guy who trains martially. And I was just like, I couldn't believe that, because I was like, if somebody steals my child, my wife, or my friend, I'm going to pursue to the end of the earth. I'm not going to sit here and wait for 911 or the State Department to get my kid back. And when that person said that, they got taken off my list of people that I would help. It's like, you know, I feel sorry for whatever woman you marry. This guy's single, too. That may have a lot to do with it. Maybe he says that kind of stuff to potential wives, and they go, huh? Maybe I don't want to marry this guy. Every Christian man has a duty to protect innocence. And you can seize the sword of vengeance if it's within your realm of jurisdiction. And when it's a family member, guess what? Now, does that mean if somebody, you know, rapes your daughter, she comes home, she tells you, you call the police, you process it, and he's sitting in the courtroom, do you have the right to stand up and shoot him? No. However, if you hear noise coming from your bedroom, you get up, you grab your blaster, get your night vision goggles on, you put on everything you need, and you walk in there and you see a guy in the act of raping your daughter, kill him. Dead. Kill him. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Make sure the angle's right so you don't injure your daughter. Kill him. Then call the police. They face the consequences depending on what liberal state you live in. We have duties to do right. We also have duties to destroy evil. And I think some people don't get that. Oh, so many Christians freak out when I share this stuff with them. But anyway, that movie Savior really brings up a lot of those ethical and faith questions, and I encourage that you watch it. Watch it by yourself if you have family first. You be the judge of your household. And I had no problem showing it to my 15-year-old son. I wouldn't show it to my 10-year-old daughter. The language in it, they drop the F-bomb and all that. And there's a scene where a pregnant woman is being kicked in the belly to murder her child, and that kind of stuff. You don't want to put that images in some kids' heads, but Lou's a young warrior. Lou's a really young warrior, and I'm not going to say who said it. It's somebody that's associated with the church no longer, but they've moved on and they've made their choices to be a lone wolf. So that's just, and this guy, you know, sadly, that's just the way some people are, Minuteman. But we as Christian soldiers, we train for a reason. We don't train because it's macho. We don't train because I look really good with my tactical vest tightened up and it sucks in my stomach like James T. Kirk. I mean, I like wearing my tactical vest because it's like having a man girdle on. It gets rid of a few, doesn't it? I look good in my girdle. I'm telling the truth. But that's what so many people do. They just want to look good in front of the mirror, but they don't want to get out and actually practice. And you do the best you can. I mean, I'm terrible. I mean, I've got about, like I said yesterday, I got like a 30-second fight in me. I probably got one day of real frontline battle in me right now. One day, and my feet are gone, my back's gone, my vision goes. But I guarantee you, for that one day, I'm going to kill as many of the enemy as I can to protect my kin and family. And I'm going to continue training, just like Stacy's going and Debbie's going and three other women are going to this pistol class. Yeah, they're not going to be frontline troops unless they absolutely are cornered and that's it. But I like knowing that the women have got my back. Let's see, the same advice. Yeah, Ted Nugent. I like what Ted Nugent said. He doesn't like repeat offenders. He likes dead offenders. Now, Ted Nugent's not a Christian, but I do like his politics. He's like some new age, spirit of the wild, drink the blood of the animal kind of guys. I've met him twice, once when I was a teenager, once as an adult, and he's just kind of... Man's addicted to young girls, I can tell you that. He may not have done drugs, but he used to get drunk and commit statutory rape because he was a rock and roller. He never got over it, so... Ted Nugent's okay, but he's still a vile pedophile as far as I'm concerned. But Uncle Ted's got some good stuff in him, and hopefully he doesn't do that anymore. He hasn't really repented for what he did. He doesn't do it anymore. But so Ted Nugent came up in the chat room, by the way. For those of you that aren't in the chat room, you're missing out on a conversation. You're missing out on a lot there, so that's just the way it goes. Let's see. What? Yeah, my tactical muumuu. Somebody reminded me I have a tactical muumuu. It's just a big old German poncho that I dyed green, and it's got camouflage on it. And you need to have a Where am I here? You need to have a tactical muumuu. Everybody needs a tactical muumuu, which is basically your poncho. I always tell everybody, get your tactical muumuus on. Let me find this other thing I wanted to talk about here. I talked about the Tea Party. I talked about Planned Parenthood finally fired those people that weren't speaking of statutory rape. Like 25, this group kind of ambushed them. They pretended to be like 15-year-old girls with 28-year-old boyfriends. They came in for abortions, and they never called the police. Well, a year and a half later, 2 years later, Planned Parenthood finally fired those workers. Yeah, they really cared. They totally cared. Oh, here's something funny I got. I'm not even sure who sent me this one, and I apologize. I get stuff from so many people, and I should tag it. But here's a little something for you Californians. Did you know what happened 160 years ago this coming fall? Back in 1850, let me give you a hint. Well, California became a state, and we've covered that in detail about how a small militia, some of them wearing potato sacks with nothing but hatchets, marched on a fort up there in Sonoma where the last Spaniard guy was and took the state before the Mexicans could get it. And for a few brief days, we were a great independent nation, the California Republic, but a Republic of California. And there's some funny stories there about the flag and everything. But here's some things that you need to remember. Back in 1850, there was no electricity. People had no electricity. The state had no money at all. It was just this handful of guys under Bartlett that started it from Bartlett Pears. Almost everyone in the state spoke Spanish back in 1850. Either the Mexicans that miscegenated Indians from the Spanish mixed Muslim bloods that went down into Mexico and took over Mexico, or the... you know, the Spanish themselves. So Spanish was the language of the day. Back in 1850, throughout California, guess what? There was gunfights and violence in the streets. There was no protection. There was no state. Spain had pulled out and pretty much just left a few people behind in a few of the missions. So we got to understand, other than electricity, not much has changed, really. We haven't had rolling blackouts in a while, but they're telling us that next summer we're going to have more rolling blackouts again. The infrastructure has fallen apart. Our electricity cuts out quite a bit up here, but it's usually just because we're in an old system. It's not because the generation plant shut down. We have our own generation plants. We just need new wires. But here's what I like somebody put, and this is a little distasteful, and I apologize. So basically nothing has changed except for the fact that women back then had real breasts and the men didn't hold hands. So I love that. I don't know who sent me that. If you're in the chat room, take credit for it now. I think it may have been Dwayne. I think it was Dwayne, our listener in Lemoore, our silent listener. He never signs in ever. But thank you for listening, Dwayne. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's who it was. So that, my friend, is a history lesson for today. How different is your state from when it was first founded, especially you folks on the East Coast? How abhorrent have your laws become? And you want to hear more about the laws here in California? January 1st, we went through and talked about all kinds of the... Where is this? I got to jump around here in my comments. Let's view all comments. They've really changed a lot of the laws. We're slaves again. Those of you that don't think we're slaves don't know how the law works. There are a few of us that refuse to acknowledge their power, and it's just a matter of time before they come and try and put a boot on my neck. But to the state, they look at us as slaves. So we all know California is billions. They say 24, 25 billion. It's probably closer to 70 or 80 billion in debt. They're doing everything they can. They're sending out, please file your taxes. Every commercial is about taxes on TV now. It's like, oh, free filing, free filing. We'll help you. We've got to get every penny. From our business, they send us something. Oh, it's so easy. Just come online, type in how many receipts you had. We'll compute it for you, and you just send us a check for your sales receipts. Fortunately, we didn't sell a lot to California. Most of you people aren't in California, so we're not going to pay a lot of taxes for the business. But I found this. This is the traffic ticket fines effective the 6th of January, so they're already in effect. They came in effect 6th of January, 2011. And I'm not going to give you the codes because, you know, who cares about that. But if you, whoa, what happened there? It just, like, jumped. Where did the page go? But if you want to look them up, I can email them to you. Send me an email to Dutch at dutchjones.info. And if you're in California, you want a copy of this, I'll forward it to you. Let's see. Failure to obey license provisions, $214. That means if it says you have to wear glasses, you can't drive at night, it's a Class C and you're driving a big truck, automatic. This is just what they'll pile onto you, $214. It used to be $100. Failure to notify DMV of address change within 10 days. How many people do that? Now a $214 fine for not telling them you moved. Now this one, failure to show proof of insurance. Now, federally, they can't force us to buy health insurance, but the states have different constitutions, so they can force you. If you agree to get a driver's license and a license plate and drive on their roads, that's how they look at them, they own the roads, you have to put their plate and stickers and stuff on your vehicle, so you're basically giving them your vehicle. It's $796 to not have insurance now. In this state. Let's see, failure to stop at a red signal, which is a bad thing, but $436. Now, if you're speeding, which everybody seems to do, I don't drive anymore, but Stacy, we put it right at 56 miles an hour and stay there. If you're going 1 to 15 miles an hour over the limit, and listen to this, they're telling their highway patrolman now to write for 1 mile an hour over. 1 mile an hour over, they're pulling people over in California. I know highway patrolman, this is a fact, this is firsthand intel. $214 if you're going 1 to 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. Now, if you're going 16 to 25 miles an hour over the speed limit, part of the fine, because it's just going to be part of the fine, for just the actual speed limit itself violation is $328. You know, passing a school bus, I like this one. Passing a school bus when it's red lights or flashing, who would do that? But $616. Now, here's one that a couple people up here have already gotten. Driving while using a wireless phone, not hands-free. First offense, the minimum fine is $148. Our pastor's wife went in. She got the $148 fine. She entered in, woe to those who make unrighteous decrees against widows and orphans and all that. And they said, we're not, this is what the judge said, I'm not here to plead your case. I'm here to collect fines. Guilty. She had to pay a DNA fee. They try and bully you into giving a DNA sample for getting caught with a cell phone. Are you listening to me, the rest of America? She refused to do it, and you can, but they don't tell people that. She had to pay, like, the victim's fee. She had to pay courtroom fees, docket fees. By the time she got out of there, it was like $300 or $400. So don't listen to them when they tell you, oh, it's only $148. The second offense, the base fine, without all the extra user fees, is $256. $256. And it's $148 again if you text. They made it illegal to text here, which is kind of funny because they overlooked that and then they added it. If you park in a bus zone, a school bus zone or a city bus zone, $976. Now, I have no idea where they come up with $976. Maybe that's what it costs for the martini bill when they go to lunch up in Sacramento, you know, every day. So they're like, wow, $976. Let's just pick that. If you park in a disabled place, which is the only ticket I enjoyed riding when I was a police officer, you park in a disabled handicapped place here in California, you're going to get a $976 violation. I spent a year and a half either in a wheelchair or a walker after being hit by a drunk driver. It's probably, you know, so I have my opinions on that. And I used to hate it when people would park in the handicapped zones when I was going to college. Now get this one. Your second offense is $1,876. I would like to see the faces on those people when they're sitting there going, okay, give me my ticket. And they've got their little handheld, you know, New World Order. They read the barcode on your VIN number. Pops out. And you hand that to some guy who went in for 5 minutes to get a lottery ticket and smokes. He's going to come unglued. There's going to be a lot of parking enforcement officers with, you know, with grievous bodily harm done to their faces. I love this. Unlawful material on vehicle windows. For those of you that don't know what unlawful material on vehicle windows are, is any sticker that wasn't ordered to be put there by the state or like military stickers. If you have a sticker on your window and they want to pull you over, $178 fine. If your muffler is too loud, $178. If you don't have a seatbelt on, it's $148. They keep using the same numbers. And then again, that's just the base one. Mandatory use of passenger child restraints. So if you're not strapped your child down in the back seat, now my opinion is, I've seen enough auto accidents, I would strap my child in. But that's family jurisdiction. People will argue with me on that. $436 for not using a baby seat. Let's see. If you have any kind of headsets covering both ears, if you're wearing headsets from your iPod, your phone, whatever, and it's covering both ears, guess what? They can pull you over for that now, and it's a $178 fine. If you don't have a helmet on while riding a motorcycle, $178. Again, these are probably like the martini bills that these lawmakers get. If you're a commercial driver and if you're a trucker and your logbook isn't up to date, you know, I mean, you have to show, you know, your sleeping hours and all that, $616. It's ridiculous. If you don't have evidence of a registration, you haven't registered your vehicle, $256 fine to start with. If you don't have your license plate attached to your front and rear bumper, if it is not clean, if you can't see the stickers on it, if you have a trailer hitch in front of it, I looked all this stuff up, $178 fine. And then if you're a commercial trucker and your truck is overweight, the fine starts at $178. Now, what you've got to understand is people say, well, it's not the cops' fault. Let me tell you something. Money-grubbing cops write tickets for job security. There are quotas. They get overtime. They get extra bonus work. They get vacation days by how well they rip you off. These are not crimes. Show me where the victim is if you don't hurt anybody and you decide not to wear a seatbelt. Where's the victim? The Bible states there must be a victim and there must be two witnesses for a crime to have been committed. This is ungodly, whether it's this state or any state. And the other reason that cops do this here in California is they're told that there's not going to be any money for them when they retire, so they better do something to fill those coffers. So right now, every ticket they write is keeping the retired cop that probably trained them, that's retired now at age 55 in California. He can retire at 55 with like up to 120% of their last year's income. They're paying the pensions, and they're hoping somebody will come and do the same thing. It's that whole Brotherhood of the Blue kind of thing. So don't tell me that traffic tickets, parking tickets are just, you know, acceptable nuisances. It's piracy. It's unjust collection of fees and taxes. And that donut-munching, usually obese highway patrolman that I've been seeing lately, and I'm obese too, but I'm not telling everybody how to live their life. Actually, I am. I'm telling you how to live your life. I'm just kidding. I'm not out there stealing your money. I'm not out there with a radar gun. And in the next hour, we're going to talk about this new thing that they're doing along with Homeland Security with unlawful search and seizures of vehicles, how they're finding ways to stop everybody and scan your car with X-rays without you even knowing about it. You know, they're supposedly looking for terrorist nuclear devices, but they care about what kind of guns you have in your car. It's crazy. Do not call the cops for anything. Do not invite them in. They are the modern-day vampires. They are the Gestapo. They are the KGB. They are the trench-coated thugs. Don't let them in your car. Do everything you can to not allow them to pull you over and molest you. And I mean that figuratively and spiritually. Yeah, code compliance is a whole other thing. Warland brought that up. I haven't looked that up yet. I just looked up traffic fines. The fees for new structure startups, they're going nuts. Because what's happening is here in California, for those of you that are thinking that this is boring because I'm talking about California, whatever happens here happens where it trickles down to you guys. This is the experimentation place. We're at war here with our own government, basically. And we didn't start it. They did back in the 60s, and it's gotten worse every year. Now, we have these special zones here, tax-exempt zones, all kinds of stuff that cities do, and there's these funds that cities have said, hey, state, hands off, these are our funds. We want to use these to do social programs, build parks, have midnight basketball, and every governor's left them alone. Well, now Governor Moonbeam is saying, hey, that's like $18 billion. If I take all that money away from the cities and require it to go into the general coffers, we can help curb some of this debt. You know, every city has these different tax zones, these curb fees, everything. They want to take that away from it, and the mayors are going nuts here. They just met with him, and they told him, we don't like this. You know what he said? Too bad. Too bad. We're taking this money back. It's something like in California, 2 years ago when I last checked this, 11 cents of every tax dollar you pay in your community stays in your community. The rest goes to state and federal. 11 cents comes back on average. Some places get more. You know, places like Watts or Compton, if you count all the welfare and social services programs, they get a lot more than 11 cents. But it averages out across the state. Every community gets 11 cents of every dollar that it sends up the pike, you know, in royalties and tithe to the king and queen up in Sacramento, and then they have to tithe, you know, and then they have different avenues for federal. 11 cents. Your schools, you know, your police, your fire. And then, so what the communities do is they have these special elections, these special things. They have all these different terms. I don't even care what the terms are. And the people vote for them. Oh, we need police and fire. We're scared. They don't tell you that the mayors of most cities in California make more than the governor. That these bigger cities, and this just came out today, they're going to start, the state comptrollers or whatever they call them for California is going to publish every public employee's salary. I love it, because they've had a few cities where people have gone nuts finding out their mayor's getting like $3 or $4 million for a town of like 10,000 people. Crazy stuff's going on here in California. They just, for so long, they could skim and steal. It's like Tammany Hall. Those of you that know anything about the history of this nation, and you have the bosses, the city bosses, they controlled everything. Usually Democrats, but it doesn't really matter. And it's so corrupt, if you want to play, you got to pay. City of Moreno Valley got in trouble for it when they first organized. They would spend $10,000 on like a punch bowl to receive some ambassador from Britain in hopes that he might buy something from a factory in Moreno Valley. It's payola, it's corruption, and it's at your expense. And they tell you that you need to live more frugal, live within your means, and they keep creating these new taxes. And yet when a big tortilla company comes in, like happened in Southern California in a community I worked for, they don't charge them for water hookup, they don't charge them for road improvements, and then when they move in, like a Walmart factory, they don't even have any say, and they can pay $8 an hour for the employees. And your tax dollars is going to subsidize the same guy you're working for. So they, as these big businesses, these international conglomerations, don't have to pay for the roads or the water hookup. But you, as a small businessman, come in and you decide, hey, I want to put in a kitchen. Look at the hoops you have to jump through. But the guy who's making tortillas down the street, because he's an international corporation, he gets all these gimmies because he's going to employ 500 people at a sub-livable wage, and it makes the mayor feel good because he says, look how many jobs I brought. I call it the Walmart factor. We were walking through Walmart today. The place was packed. It's the second. It's when everybody gets their welfare disbursements, I'm told. So I'm thinking, okay, all this tax money goes to these people, which goes to Walmart. So basically, it's not welfare for the people that are in need or not in need. It's welfare for Walmart. And then Walmart employees, I'm told, and this is from two Walmart employees in two different cities, told me that once you get a job at Walmart and they say we're going to pay you $8.25 an hour, they then tell you how to go down and apply for food stamps because they're only going to work you 30 hours a week and you qualify. Yeah, attracting jobs, General Carver says. Attracting jobs. Yeah, that's my apologies. My job is to make sure that more jobs come into our community and the quality of life is better than when I was first elected when I leave. How do you the misery index. Remember under President Carter we had the misery index? Where did that go? That disappeared because they don't want to apply that today. You know, how much we're truly taxed. They want to keep raising sales tax, value added tax. Our government is here to rob us. They are no different than tyrannical kings in the Middle Ages. You may have one or two good kings, but overall, they're all bad. They're all evil, and they need to be run out of town on a rail, if you want to go that way. Or they need to be decapitated, and we need to start over. And of course, within time, it'll get bad again, because that's the nature of man, isn't it? That's how we do things here in America. Was it Jefferson that said the tree of liberty has to be watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants? And I probably butchered that, but that's exactly what I'm thinking about. What happened here, Lou? Something just popped up. I don't know what this is. I mean, think about how much you actually pay in taxes. Think about how much you actually gets taken from you and what you actually get to take home in fees. And, you know, you buy a car, you want to get a driver's license, and what they tell you you can and can't do in your own backyard, and unless you pay them. You can have a machine gun in California, I find out, but it's a $3,000 a year license fee, and you can only, you got to call them and tell them when you're going to use it and where. I guess that's for the movie industry. You know, or if you, I knew a guy that had a quad 50 that he would rent out, and it was a nightmare for him, but he made a fortune letting the hippies shoot his quad 50 at different ranges. Weird stuff. When we come back, we're going to be on Liberty Tree Radio, our big sister network. This is Stronghold Radio. Don't forget that, Stronghold Radio. Next Thursday, which is tomorrow, we'll have Pastor Warren Mark Campbell on again in the next in the 6 o'clock hour. Don't forget that, with Practical Christianity. If things get weird over in Egypt, maybe we'll have Steve on again during the week for, you know, a couple 5 minutes check in to explain what's going on. But other than that, I want to thank you for listening to the first hour. It's kind of a different feel, you know, because I can get a little more eager and meaner. Because I kind of know who's listening. We know who you are. Second hour, please call in if you've got any input that you want to put in. We're going to talk about a couple things. Phone number remains the same, 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Check out DutchJones.info. There's a little thing there called a chip-in. We need your financial support. We need. I'm not putting any more of my money in this month. And that means when the 15th rolls around, we won't be able to pay for the internet bill. Because we got to pay a car, we got to pay an insurance car bill, we got to pay on a car that we're trying to buy from somebody. It turned out a little more than we thought it was going to be, but we need a car. We can't go get food, we can't go get my daughter without a car. So I'm not going to take that money and put it into the radio show. That's just bad stewardship on my part. But if you enjoy what we're doing and you believe in what we're doing, and you want us to continue doing it, just kick us down a few dollars. You pray about it and decide. I'm not going to tell you how much. That's not my place. My place is just to give you the opportunity to put your money where you believe it's doing the most good and reaching the most people. And I told you before, we're reaching all kinds of people. India, that's amazing to me. So we're going to be back after this break, and we'll be looking for Ed to jump in the room there. And stick around. I got some more weirdness to tell you about.
And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Time when it seemed like he was part of the dream, when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.dutchjones.info. www.dutchjones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.dutchjones.info.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
The government is the problem.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
yeah,
the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Dutch Jones! Dutch Jones!
Radio program!
And now for something completely different.
Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our Liberty Tree radio listeners. I am Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. It is the militant Christian worldview with access and emphasis, rather, on Christian. We are Christian separatists, not racial separatists. We just realize that this rotting heap that was once the great states, the once great, these United States, is rotting and decaying from a cancer from within that has been allowed to fester because of neglect, ignorance, and evil. From within, it's just I can't get over enough how many people I'm having an ongoing argument right now in email with the head of the Tea Party here in Central California, and she is just a naive little twit that has no understanding of what the history of this nation was based on, where the founding fathers gained their knowledge. It was from the Bible, mostly from Deuteronomy. Yeah, there were a few deists and non-Christians involved there, a couple universalists. But these people in the Tea Party make me sick. And I know a lot of people like them, but they're nothing more than Republican Party on energy drinks. They're soccer moms and NASCAR dads that once their anger is gone, they'll wander away. As soon as Obongo is either kicked out, termed out, or for whatever reason hit by a meteor, they'll just go right back to sleep and they won't give one whit about where this nation is going. They all cheered Bush when he got elected. I saw these same fools that I've seen at these Tea Party rallies. And the local Tea Party group here in Tulare County, I just found out they're meeting at the Masonic Temple. And when I called them on that, they're like, well, it's just a cheap place to meet. And they have no concept of what they're doing. I said, oh, so the Tea Party embraces secret societies. So I got to finish this email later. It made me mad when I got it over the break. So apologies for my tirade so quick. Welcome, Ed. I see you're in there. Did you co-host with him?
He
didn't co-host yet. We're talking about Ron Paul's website is where you can sign the petition. The reason I like sending the $2 is because... Yeah, Jefferson was on the $2 bills. We like that. Warlin, he's Jefferson's quote that I used in the last hour. What's Ron Paul doing now? Is he still trying to audit the Fed and all that kind of stuff? I kind of lost track of him. I got caught up in the madness that was, I don't care anymore about the elections. I just care locally. But if Ron Paul's doing something good, we want to know about it and we'll spread it out. He's you know, one of the best men of all the people in Congress. I don't agree with his view on sodomites. And I don't agree with him running as a Republitard. But, hey, that's okay. You know, somebody's got to do it. This one is to try and get him to run in it's to draft Ron Paul to run in 2012. Well, yeah, especially since Chuck Baldwin's not going to run for president anymore. He's going to run for governor of Montana. That would be good because I keep voting for Chuck Baldwin when he runs. But if Ron Paul wants to run and he wants to address a few tweakings of his platform, I just don't like that Ron Paul keeps running on the Republican ticket. And I'm done with the two-party system. We've seen how far it's gotten him being a Republican. I mean, every time he brings stuff up, they just shoot him down. But, you know, who knows? Maybe this is his time around. I don't see anybody else on the horizon that I would vote for. I'm not a Palin fan. I'm not. I don't want to see McCain get dragged out of his footlocker, dusted off, his dialysis turned up or whatever they're doing to keep him alive and run again. I'm sick of that guy. And I think they were talking about Newt Gingrich running again. It's just the same old people that do the same old tyranny bit, and everybody wants to buy it. So, yeah, Ron Paul, check that out. You can go to the RonPaul2012.net, RonPaul2012.net, RonPaul2012.net. Put a www in front of that. What did you want to call Larry Wick? LW?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lee wants to call Larry Wick LW. We're not going to berate you with training info again today. We did that enough the first 2 days. It is Wednesday. That means you get me for, just under an hour here on Liberty Tree Radio and Stronghold Radio over here coming to you from Kauai. Please check out the website, dutchjones.info. We're going to add a few things in the next few days. The stats came in, and we're doing really well on our website. We really appreciate it. Just the multitude of nations listening. I can't believe, and of course that doesn't count Liberty Tree Radio, which I'm sure is four times the number of what we get, but India, 110 people listening to this show from India, unique hits. And somebody says it's probably the Indian secret police or something. That's fine. You know, if my secret police are going to listen, why not India, you know? We had like four people in Egypt or something. It was ridiculously low, so we know they're not missing us. There's the internet back on. I don't know. I can't keep up with it. Watch your headphones or you're dragging all these wires. Yeah, so I'm not really sure. You know, everybody's talking about what's going on in Egypt. Some people are hugging the protesters and loving them. Some people are berating them. Fact of it is, both parties, and it's like, hopefully they'll wipe each other out. Muslim is a Muslim is a Muslim, and I could care if they're Students for a Democratic Society Muslims or Muslim Brotherhood. that would be like four people. but we're not, whatever's happening over there. The only funny thing I think is that Obongo's trying to make it look like he's in control of it. I guess he was on last night. I heard some replays of it today. Army, Navy, Air Force intel. Oh, thanks, Liberty Tree. That's who they're listening. The Navy and all those guys are listening to us over in Egypt. We got a bunch in Iraq. It was like 32 or something in Iraq, and I'm pretty sure, judging by my email, it's all military members or people that are stuck over there in Bush's war still, Bush and Obongo's war. So that's good. But 110 in India, I really like that. And, of course, we had 1,900 and some in America. Thank you. This radio signal is intended mostly for you. But if our brothers and sisters, our Christian brothers and sisters overseas who love liberty can glean anything off of it, that's great. That would be fantastic if something we share here. But like our brothers and sisters in Australia, you don't have a First Amendment. And they took away whatever the equivalent of your Second Amendment was a long time ago. So I don't know what we can do for you other than encourage you and pray for you. Speaking of praying, I got some emails today that closing arguments were today or tomorrow, are going to be today or tomorrow for Shauna Ford. And we were getting some emails, people are like, well, do you think she's innocent? Do you think she? I don't know. I wasn't there. It's between her and God. I just pray that God's will be done in the case. And unless we get a call from Diane, I don't have any updates on that. I Googled it. I didn't find anything that was new from February 1st. Happy Groundhog Day to all y'all. I hope your honey-baked groundhog got here on time. We waited the last minute and didn't get a groundhog for our traditional, groundhog dinner. So we ended up having to just, go with plain old turkey or something. Turkey loaf. I couldn't even find groundhog loaf anywhere. I went to like three stores and they're just like, oh, you idiot. It's too late for that. Everybody got that stuff days ago getting ready for Groundhog Day. Those of you that are suffering from being snowed in, our brothers and sisters that are snowed in, great training. Optimize it. Break out those camp stoves. Break out that cold weather gear. What? Oh, Eastern dance music. I don't know what that is going on in the chat room. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. That's what I always say. And you're supposed to be able to face your witnesses. We're talking again about Shauna Ford. They're bringing witnesses in with hoods on and cutting off the media feed so nobody can hear what these witnesses are. But that's just the way it goes down in Arizona there in that little county of Pima with, I don't want to say Sheriff Dipstick anymore because Rush Limbaugh stole that from me. He doesn't listen to me, but it's just creative coincidence. Somebody wants to know who Shauna Ford is and what she's accused of. Shauna Ford is a minute woman who had a group on the border, and she's accused of masterminding a hit on a drug dealer's family that resulted in the father being killed and a 9-year-old girl being killed and a mother wounded who couldn't pick Shauna out of a lineup 3 times but suddenly on the stand could do it. So it's a lot of weirdness going on there. So Shauna Ford's in trial down in Pima County, and it was pretty big news until Loeffner decided to take out that judge. And, yeah, that's what I believe. I know that a lot of people are doing that, but I said that like the third day. I'm putting my finger on that one. The judge was the target, not some moderate Democrat, congresswoman. I'm still wondering if she was even shot. Has anybody seen a picture of her? Are there any photos of her? Of what was her name again? Congresswoman
Gabriel Gifford.
Thank you, Lou. You're always my memory stick. And I think that's weird because I haven't seen a picture of her. I mean, if she was shot in the face, she'd look pretty bad. You know, they're going to wait 8 months and then have her come out and say plastic surgery, everything's good. I doubt. I'm beginning to doubt she was even shot. But that's only because I don't have all the information. I don't have TV. If I'm speaking out my hind quarters, let me know and say, oh, no, they had a picture of her on the first day, and her face was flayed open. So it'd be interesting to know. So, no, the judge was not on her case. He was a federal judge who had nothing to do with Shauna. The federal judge that was killed had recently been involved in some cases where he denied Obongo being allowed to seize property along the border. Although, in other cases, he had handed some property over to some illegal aliens from Guatemala who were mistreated, supposedly, by a rancher. So I wouldn't say he's a hero. I say he's just a typical federal judge. It's going to go whichever way the wind blows up his robe. But that judge that was killed, it was shot 6 times. The congresswoman was shot once. Does that sound like, he was after her? Anyway, that's just the weirdness that goes on. There's so much weirdness going on in the world. So many things that, and I think about it, we know about this stuff. We discuss it. They discuss it on Liberty Tree Radio. Better Men Than Me bring it up. And this is just the stuff we know about. I sometimes lay awake at night going, what's next? What's going to break next? What don't we know about? What is the stuff they're doing to us that we don't know about? In fact, I have something here. I'm always talking about the checkpoints and all that garbage that goes on here. And the police are always, worried about, seizing 45 vehicles. Meanwhile, 4 shootings occur in the town down the hill and, just weird stuff. Well, here's something here. The TSA, the Transportation Safety Administration, I got to come up with the neat initials for that. I'm always good at coming up with nicknames for people. Invades roads and highways with this new thing called Viper Checkpoints. Now, this is written by Joseph Watson. A bunch of people sent it to me. They got it off InfoWars, and I don't mind using somebody else's stuff, but it's stuff you got to know about. Now, the TSA has announced its intentions to expand the Viper program, VIPR, to include roadside inspections of commercial vehicles, setting up a network of internal checkpoints, and rolling out security procedures already active in airports, bus terminals, and subway stations to roads and highways across the United States. So if you want to go down to the local Howard Johnson's, if they're even still open, you're going to have to get felt up by the TSA? No, that's not what they're talking about. They're putting up these X-ray machines to look into vehicles, and now they want to look into your vehicle. Now, up until now, commercial trucks and other vehicles were the only ones subject to these warrantless searches because you're just going by. And they're pounding you with some kind of radiation. I'm not an expert, but I'm sure it can't be good. And they're designated to be state-owned facilities, these way stations. But now the federal government's taking them over and using them, Department of Transportation. Traditionally, these are set up as rest stops next to highways. These internal checkpoints run by Homeland Security, Department of Transportation, and the TSA involve trucks being scanned with backscatter X-ray devices in the name of safety. And here comes the catchphrase, counterterrorism. Well, how do you know they're just doing the trucks? I think they've been doing this all along and that this isn't a new thing. These inspection stations are now being expanded to normal roads and highways, unleashing an army of TSA agents who will be given a free hand to litter America with internal checkpoints and a chilling throwback to Soviet-style levels of control over the population. Now, inspectors from the TSA are likely to be more involved in roadside inspections of commercial vehicles, according to the TSA official, said in reports the industry. This is at the website bulktransporter.com. Bulktransporter.com, if you want to go check what I'm reading to you. Bulktransporter.com. VisibleIntermodal.com. Now, Visible Intermodal Prevention and Response, that's VIPR, teams can be extremely effective serving as a visible presence that is random and unpredictable, says William Arrington with the TSA. Now, VIPR teams are an essential part of protecting highway transportation vehicles and other critical infrastructures. Meanwhile, they're scanning you and your family as you go by to see if you get guns in the trunk. And the report also notes that VIPR team members may or may not be in uniform, stoking fears about the use of secret police manning checkpoints, which would be more befitting of the Soviet Union or former East Germany. Now, it's America. It's the way in America now. This isn't a matter of East Germany or Gestapo. This is the American way of life. In the future, 200 years from now, people will use TSA the same way we use SS. Think I'm being extreme? It's too late for that. We're in 1936. We're in 1932 Europe right now. And meanwhile, America is listening to the politicians saying there will be peace in our time. What was that prime minister's name? I always forget his name. An idiot. Before Churchill. As we have documented, this is according to the article, airport security-style checkpoints and inspection procedures are already in place at bus terminals, train stations, and are rapidly being expanded onto the streets of America. Since the launch of the Department of Homeland Security's See Something, Say Something program, the DHS has also released promotional material which depicts would-be TSA agents conducting searches at public events, including a Buccaneers football game. All you folks going to that big Super Bowl game down there? Mm-hmm. Prepare to be x-rayed. Homeland Security is also developing technology to be used at security events, which purports to monitor... Okay, here's a word I haven't seen in a while. Malintent on behalf of an individual who passes through a checkpoint. The video... It's got a video here, but I'm not going to play it. Now, FAST checkpoints, future attribute screening checkpoints, will conduct psychological and behavioral tests in order to weed out suspected terrorists and criminals. Now, if you're flustered, if your blood pressure's up, they have sensors for that now. If you got rosy red cheeks, they're going to say, hey, that guy's nervous about something. He must be hiding a bomb in his shorts. What if you just had the best bowel movement of your life? And you're coming out of the restroom, and they put one of these scanners on you, and they're thinking, hey, this guy's a little too relaxed. Is that the kind of... It reminds me of Gattaca, the movie Gattaca, those of you that have seen that. And it's scary that nobody's angry about this except the fringe media, you know, that other Jones guy is running it. And I'm sure Coast to Coast will have a little something on it. You know, they like talking about it, but, you know. What's a little security if I'm safe? I want to be able to eat a corn dog and watch my favorite NASCAR driver and know that I'm not going to be bombed. That's okay. Now, let's see here. The subjects are, before they are interrogated as to whether they are terrorists or not, they have these sensors to tell if you can lie. They have these lie detectors that are they don't have to touch you. And they can analyze their psychological responses. Now, the subjects are asked about their whereabouts and if they are attempting to smuggle bombs or recording devices into the expo, providing that the technology is intended to be used at public events and not just airports. Individuals will not be satisfied that the first lie detector style tests, if they fail this first test, they're going to be separated and asked additional questions. So they're going to have these verbal sensors that can tell if you're lying or not. Let me tell you something. Most people I meet aren't even good at talking to strangers. They get flustered at the meat counter trying to figure out what they want. And they're going to have a system that can filter out that. If people think they can avoid the TSA by staying away from airports, they're going to be in for a rude awakening. Now, the TSA is clearly engaged in a total takeover society and plans to have its agents searching and patting down, scanning, and harassing Americans at all levels of society, not just transportation hubs, public events in the street and on highways and roads across the country. Okay, let's see. Okay, who do we have the Tangri on the phone now?
Hello.
Hello.
As of January 1st, 2011, the federal government has instructed credit card companies
to
work with their clients to reduce credit cards, medical bills, and...
Yeah, that's Obongo letting me know that I can reduce my debt. Thank you so much for calling. Now, those of you who have been to, like, there's all kinds of stuff on the net. Just put checkpoints in there, unlawful checkpoints, unlawful search and seizure. Go on YouTube, you'll see all kinds of stuff. Now, they're calling it Checkpoint U.S. Citizens are routinely stopped, searched, and radiated by federal Viper teams, and further evidence of how America is crumbling into this Soviet fascist style of government. Until proven guilty is abolished. We talked about that a little bit earlier. You're innocent until proven guilty. No, they get to search your vehicle. The Fourth Amendment's done. The Department of Homeland Security program also represents a complete violation of the Tenth Amendment in that it brazenly overrides states' rights. Now, I'm going to go back to the chat room here and see if you guys are awake. Because most people be like, oh, well, I don't care about this. You know, this doesn't really affect me. You're a terrorist now because you're going to a football game. You're a terrorist now because you want to get on the bus because you don't want to drive through traffic and you want to go to Disneyland down there in Anaheim. I don't know where the rest of you people go in the country. I can only talk about California. You want to take the train from Rancho Cucamonga to the beach, and you don't want to get caught on that 91 freeway in that traffic that should take you half an hour to travel, takes you 4 hours. Trust me, I used to live there. But now, because you want to take public transportation, they get to know everything about you. And I guarantee you that once they scan you, you're in the system. They do that facial recognition stuff. They get your body temperature. They look at your precipitation, how you're sweating. They get your heart rate from a distance. The gait of your walk to see what's normal, to see if you're carrying a burden or not. It's all data collection, people. It's freaky, it's scary, and it should have you furious. If you're not mad, you're not paying attention. My dad used to say there are two kinds of people in the world. Two kinds of people, son. People who take public transportation, and people like us that live free. Well, it doesn't matter anymore. They're going to put these in supermarkets. I guarantee you, malls. Malls a soft target. Got to protect the malls. Got to keep Jihadi Johnny from getting into Hot Topic. And blowing himself up and getting all those nipple rings damaged. Yeah, we can't have that. American way of life is about saving lives, people. It's about fighting terrorism. You know... Yeah, there's iris scanning going on. They're collecting everything on us. Everything on us. Why do you think when you get caught with a cell phone in California in your car while you're driving, they tell you you have to give a DNA sample now? Yeah. You can fight it and say no like our pastor's wife did and she didn't have to do it, but how many sheep go, okay, go ahead and swab me. I have no problem. But it's for security. But I'm not a criminal. I just was talking on my cell phone. Show me the victim. Oh, the victim is society. You know, 52,000 people a year die in auto accidents, and we think cell phones are a reason for that. No, just like guns don't kill people, people kill people. Cars don't kill people. Bad drivers kill people. Unattentive drivers, sleepy drivers, drunk drivers. Rather than dealing with the problems, they apply a blanket security net over everybody, and then they got us. It's like, what was that movie, The Prisoner? Remember that? The Prisoner? Those of you that are old enough, that 1960s show? Patrick McGowan or something like that. I can't remember the actor's name. The giant balls bouncing around and chasing. Weird English spy kind of stuff that they used to have on TV when I was a kid. Freaked me out. That kind of stuff just freaked me out. But it's true. Everything you do is monitored. And there's always a voice, a disembodied voice. Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones. We noticed that when you were in the restroom, you were a little agitated. Please report to a security screening area immediately. We need to make sure you're not feeling depressed. You know? You people that live in these cities, I guarantee you they try it up here. Every night they leave the equipment out, it's going to be dismantled. Anybody guarding it's going to be in a world of hurt. They may put it up here because we do have a federal park behind us. They may put it at the front gate. It won't last long. What are you going to do when they go up in your city? Same thing happened when they put up the cameras everywhere in Southern California. And I'm not just talking about the intersection cameras. I'm talking about the cameras on the roads so that they could turn around and look into every one of them. They'd be looking everywhere. They're supposed to be there for traffic control and so they could warn people that traffic was bad. But they're turning around looking at houses. And I remember the first year I moved here, like in 92, I was like, hey, let's get rid of those things. I wanted to go tear them down. Well... Then we decided, well, if we do that, they can get us from malicious mayhem and vandalism and all that, and we go to prison. Well, let's figure out a way to put a sack over them. Well, they're way up high on these poles, like light poles. I said, okay, well, I'm pretty good with a paintball gun. And we went around shooting these things with paintball guns. I got 12 guys that would do it. Yeah, come after me for that now. jerk-offs. And I tried to get it to go nationwide when the internet came out in about 98. I was trying to get people all across the country on Halloween to go out and just take out with a paintball gun. You know, dress up as a Darth Vader type guy. It's Halloween. Nobody's going to suspect you walking around with some implement of destruction. And just cover up the lenses of these cameras. Nobody wanted to do it. I'm afraid I'll go to jail. Oh, if I I'll lose my paintball gun. I won't be able to go to work the next day. Cowards. Cowards. So I moved out of that, and I stopped fellowshipping with those kind of people because I want to be around people who are willing to do something, even something as stupid as civil disobedience. Civil disobedience. You know, resist, resist, resist. This movie I talked about, Savior, one thing that I noticed in it, and it's an Oliver Stone movie, and, you know, it's about the Bosnia and Herzegovina War. The Muslims lining up to get their brains blown out. You know, they showed, they're not Muslims, they weren't Muslims, they were Catholics, and the Muslims were blowing the brains out. And they didn't resist, they just stood there and looked at the guys as they were executing them. That's what America's become. You've been conditioned to that point, America. Well, not you guys listening, but your neighbors. We'll be back after the break here on Liberty Tree Radio with our little connection stream from Stronghold Radio coming to you from the church at Kaweah. We'll be right back.
Our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing Americans who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemies. Number one. Up till now, I always thought our vets were real patriots who loved our country with all their hearts. Oh, they proudly wore the uniform. They fought and died on foreign shores when liberty called them to do their part. Now the Department of Homeland Security has sounded the alarm, calling our vets a bigger threat than the terrorists who want to do us harm. They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV, 'cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing conservatives who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. We tend to be pro-life all the way. We're not ashamed to bow our heads to pray. The First Amendment gives us the right to speak our minds. We don't like how our money's spent by politicians who seem bent on controlling everything in our lives. They're even calling us rednecks and racists 'cause we don't like the policies of our nation's first black president in our great history. They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV 'cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing daughters and sons who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Through our faith in God, who we still trust, America was born. But freedom lost is forever gone. Our founding fathers warned. Oh, they're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV 'cause we're united. our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing patriots who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Okay, we're back. And who are we? Well, we are the Dutch Jones Show. Just a reminder, there is no Dutch Jones. He doesn't really exist. It's a nom de guerre. I'm actually a 97-pound pencil pusher from Yonkers who got kicked out of the Boy Scouts for not wanting to be felt up by my scout leader. I have no combat experience. I've never been in a fist fight. And my favorite food is usually something that comes out of a can that's warmed up in the microwave. I've never camped. So, but that's the truth. That's the real truth. Anybody who believes anything the media tells them is going to go nuts. I'm going through my email and people are just, they think that what Fox News says is 100% real all the time. No, don't believe anything. Don't believe anything I said. Don't believe anything I say. Check everything out. Look, that's why I try to throw links up when I can, tell you where I get stuff from. Don't take my word for it. I'm just a voice coming through a little tiny speaker or through your headphones. For all you know, I'm Santa Claus. You know, I could claim to be that. I could claim to be anybody. Proof everything you get from anyone, from any show. I don't care how long you've been listening to them. Don't take action on something that you hear. Don't go, you know, first blush and run into the woods. Test everything. And that's just wisdom for any Christian. And it should be for any warrior. You know, make sure that what you're being told to do makes sense. Well, we got about another 25 minutes or so left here. And the phone number to call in is 559-561-8225, 559-561-8225. And I want to remind you guys that we don't just ask for donations. We also sell stuff. You heard that little deal there. You can go to DutchJones.info. You've got to check out the water filters. Water filtration is a key thing to have. And a couple days ago, I think it was General Carver who was asking me why we picked where we did. I'm telling you, today it was 58 degrees here during the day, got down to 24 last night. We've got multiple sources of water. We've got, I don't even know, we must be up to like 8 wells now on the several acres of property. We got caves. We got a year-round growing season here. But the one thing, no matter where you go, you're going to need water. And if you don't get it from us, get it from somebody. But I still think the best deal is ours. Somebody's listening to me on huge floor speakers. I should start screaming like Adolf Hitler now if I know I'm going out over a big surround sound system. I wonder why when people say I'm overdriving their speakers, some people have got real... We just have headphones, cheap little headphones that we get. But make sure you have water and food taken care of, folks. Just a reminder, I probably haven't hit that for a while. How much should you have? As much as you can, as Stacy says. As much as you can. Every day we go to when we go to the store once a month, or sometimes we go twice a month, we always buy a little extra. Today we picked up a couple more ramen. We picked up, what else did we get with survival? We got a bunch of stuff today. Always get extra stuff. Cans of chili. I always pick up a half a dozen cans of chili when I'm in the store, especially if they're 90 cents. I can survive on a can of chili a day. Now my... Yeah, my battle mates may not be able to, but my battle buddy may hate me in the fighting position, but I will live on chili and tortillas if I have to, and that's what I'll do. It's all about having the right mindset and realizing that it's not always going to be. What, Stace? I hear you giggling over there. The after effects of the chili. You know, there are very few chilies that I won't try, but, you know, we try and pick up. I bought a bunch of cans of tuna. I can survive forever on tuna and mustard if I have to, because mayonnaise doesn't usually last, so mustard's a good thing. You mix it in and you eat it. When I was in shape, when I was at my fighting weight of about 160 pounds and mountain biking 25 miles a day because I didn't own a car after I got out of the Army. I did own a car. That was a lie. I had a car, but I hated driving it. It was a scary little 66 Rambler American that in the winter, I couldn't control the idle on the carburetor, and the wheels would spin even though I tried to stop on the ice, and I'd end up in the ditch. We saw a lady today. She must have been high on crack, coming around the bend down in Lemon Cove, and she drove right into a ditch, and her car just went up on its nose, the left rear tire's up in the air, and we drove by real slow, and you could just tell by her face she was high. And it was weird anyway, but I had to share that with you. I don't know why. I just put a YouTube link in the chat room. It's only for people in the chat room. It's a video of a firefight taking place in Afghanistan. Between our troops and the Afghan rebels, because we're always talking about don't overestimate the enemy, don't underestimate the enemy, but look at how they're fighting in there. It's really weird. It's not close quarter combat. Our guys aren't seeking cover. They're like they look like something out of a bad Vietnam video. They're standing up with just their flak vests on and shooting. Is that any way to fight a war? I don't know what they're doing. It's kind of like they're fighting a gentleman's war. It's kind of like what happened when I was in the Minutemen on the border. You know, they'd shoot at us like 2 feet above our head, and we'd shoot back in their general direction. We wouldn't actually aim. It was mostly just bravado when I first got down there. I hated it. It didn't make any sense to me. Maybe there's Masons on both sides in Afghanistan, and they're just shooting over each other's heads like they did in the American Revolution. But yeah, that video link I put in there was for that. It was sent to me from actually from a guy in the Philippines, I think, that father was a guerrilla fighter. I'm not going to give out his name. I don't think he wants me to. A guerrilla fighter in the Philippines, and he was talking about how different his father fought the Japanese in the Philippines, because we talked about the reason he did is because we talked about it yesterday on Code 20 with Steve Klein. So somebody sent it. I mean, it's completely different compared to what these guys are doing in Afghanistan. They're just thousands of rounds downrange, bouncing them off rocks. It's weird, and it's not at all what I expected to see. So, yeah, I can't remember the name of the valley. It's on the video. But it's an interesting study in how modern warfare isn't always what you think it is. And the reason I think he sent that to me is because people always think, oh, we'll never win. They've got drones. They got this. They got that. But look at this. One of the things I've noticed, I've collected about 500 pictures from fighting in Afghanistan over the past year. And I'm showing that these soldiers are just standing up, flaunting it, firing. They're not seeking cover. They're standing in clusters. And I'm not knocking the soldiers. That's not my point. But it says something about the enemy they're fighting. If these guys are not taking cover and concealment seriously, and these are hardened troops, this isn't new guys off the boat, they're realizing that, one, their enemy may not be shooting at them. They're beyond range of the weapons of maybe what the enemy has. And maybe that's why they use suicide bombs. The only way they can get a head count for KIA against us or civilians or whatever is to use roadside bombs and suicide bombs. Because these Muslims in Afghanistan, and I've told you about the movie I saw, it was a documentary off of MSNBC or CNN, where this guy embedded with the Mujahideen fighters in Afghanistan, they don't even try to shoot at our guys. If they hit at the ground around them, they claim they killed the enemy. It's kind of like the old Sioux warriors counting coup. They would just tag the guy and go, ha, I've won this great victory over the infidel. So that's why I put that video up, and it was neat that person sent it to us, showing us what's going on over there compared to the way some of our fathers and grandfathers fought. People I know that fought in Vietnam, the way Steve fought, you know, close quarter combat stuff. So if we continue to train the way we're doing what we're doing, we probably won't have any problem with most of the, you know, generic forces of the world. If we continue to be guerrilla fighters, if we continue to exploit the terrain in which we live, and the only way you're going to do that is to train. The ladies are going Saturday, and they're probably excited. When they come back Monday, I'll let them come on the air like we did last time we had some training and let them talk about what they learned when they go to defensive firearm training for pistols. You've always got to train. You've always got to be willing to just open your mind to this stuff. you know, don't be a loudmouth in these classes. Don't think you know it all and share all your war stories. Just shut up and take what this guy's given. If you want to take him out to dinner afterwards and bore him with your stories, do that. But don't waste the rest of the class's time. So I'm going to keep having these pre-training meetings to get people excited. But I had a young man who a year ago, his mother would not let him touch a firearm. She's a member of the church, good woman. Today he walks into my house about a half hour before the show and goes, my mother let me get a 22 pump rifle, an old Winchester pump rifle, you know, one of those arcade, you know, what do they call it? I guess an arcade gun, you know, you shoot shooting gallery guns. He goes, can you teach me how to use it, Dutch? And I said, well, I can't do it today, but tomorrow, what time do you get off school? He goes to public school. And he said, well, I'll be here at 4 o'clock. I said, I will be on the shooting range. Show up with your rifle and, you know, the stuff that you've been trained, you know, because, you know, I've told him before. He's had my classroom stuff. He's just never been allowed to shoot. But something happened in his house where his mother, because it's a single mom. Okay, the boy, what is he, 16 now? He's a year older than you, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, and it's just time for him to shoot. I think there's a little bit of seeing Lou out there tearing up the shooting range and doing all the training with us probably, I think, maybe made him, you know, Mom, they're letting Lou do it. And I don't know where it came from. I'm not going to even question it. I'm just going to welcome it that another young man is seeking to learn. And he's got a couple friends from the community that we want to be good examples just because there are not good examples in the community because most of the men outside the church here are just scum-sucking drug addicts and drunks. And I hate to say it, but, you know, we're kind of like a beacon here, and it's nice, and I look forward to that. And I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't spend my life training and learning to be an instructor. And I've been a student more than I've been an instructor. I've taken more classes than I've taught in a lot of this stuff, and that makes me a better instructor. So I'm really excited about that, and that's a praise report to go up to the Lord, that this young man who a year ago I thought, oh, he'll never get to come around. His mom will never let him do it. And then she approaches us earlier in the week and says she wants her daughter to take the unarmed self-defense classes that we're offering here. People are having paradigm shifts. God is working on a lot. And this woman's a good Christian woman. I'm not knocking her for that. I'm just saying sometimes I get scared when it's your own little flesh and blood. I don't want my little Louie going out there and doing this. You know, some parents are like that. They don't want to prepare their children for the harsh world that's going to be out there that we're giving them. Personally, if I was Lou and this other kid, I'd be torqued at this generation that I'm a member of. I'd be like, what's wrong with you people? Why didn't you make a stand? Why are you handing us this? You know, it's not even getting all the, you know, the catchphrases, the, you know, forever debt and all that. I'm talking about just flat out liberty and knowledge. What's this garbage you taught us? What happened to 1776? What happened to men that stood at the Alamo? We don't see any examples of that in our community. We definitely don't see it in public office. I'd be really mad if I was 14 or 15 or 16 right now. I would be just furious at knowing what I know. Of course, when I was 16, I didn't know what I know, so I wasn't mad. That's the, you know, what's the phrase? Youth is wasted on the young. Wouldn't it be better if we went the other way? We were born big, fat, and stupid. I mean, and then we got into health as we hit our prime where we needed to be fighters, and as we got older, we got tougher. You know, maybe that works with the Mongols and, you know, different races, but not with me. Oh, if I could have my 21-year-old physically fit body again and know what I know today, the things I could be doing in the world. You know, I could be training every single day rather than when I'm not in pain. You know, every day I train, it takes another day of recovery. And if I train 4 days in a row, it takes, you know, a lot more to recover from it. Here I am waxing poetically. And, you know, the older I am, the better I was or something like that. The older I get, the better I was when I was younger. But it's key and it's imperative that when we do this, and I said it earlier when we came in, don't focus on how fun this is and how cool it is. It should be fun, and yes, it is cool to serve the Lord and to serve the holy cause of liberty. But unless you approach it like a job and don't take it serious and have that kind of attitude, you're just going to let it go. I had a guy show up at the range the other day, a guy I really respect. He broke out all of his guns and they were rusty. They were physically rusty. They had rust all over. And I'm like, man, I looked at him and said, I'd be embarrassed to pull that weapon out. He goes, well, it still works. I go, yeah, that's true. But in another year, will it still work? You know, what if you hadn't taken them out now? Would it have been another year before you took them out? Take care of your weapons. I've got cheap stuff. We've got good stuff. And I treat my $70 Mosin Nagant rifle just like I treat the $500 pistol that Stacy has. They should all be treated with respect. And they should be treated as if you're a professional carpenter and these are your tools. Hello, did I mess that up? Are you there?
I'm sorry, I called the wrong time again.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. I don't know who that was, but it was probably the IRS. That was the government. That was probably somebody, you know. Oh, no, we weren't supposed to call. If you'd like to call in the last 10 minutes or so, it is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Are we running Cornkey again?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure it was up. During the intelligence report, I think that's what we're running now, there was some Beatles songs on there, and everybody up here, we just hate the Beatles. So the pastor's like calling over in the first hour. Eddie's like, well, what are you guys playing the Beatles for? We're like, it's on Cornkey. He's like, fast forward it. So we had to fast forward it through the Beatles songs. I don't know if you guys use those for like bumper music or what. I didn't hear it because we're doing the show, but I thought it was pretty funny. That doesn't mean you have to stop playing Beatles music. That's not what I meant that for. But it was just kind of funny, the calls we get while we're live on the air. Why are you playing Beatles? I'm not. I'm just talking. And then I realized it was 93.3 FM because of the offset. Warland's saying that 16 is a good age to teach to shoot. My daughter was 4 when she shot her first rifle. Any age is good to start. I was telling, we were cleaning Stacy's pistol, getting it ready, because she had just fired a bunch of rounds through it, so we were breaking it down and cleaning it. I already told you that story. I think yesterday. And the smell of the gun cleaning solvent and all that, just immediately when I open up that gun cleaning solution, I have a flashback as if it was an acid flashback. I've never had an acid flashback, but I assume it's like an LSD flashback. Right around my 6th birthday, it was in February, so we're not far off. I was 6 years old and I got my first single shot bolt action rifle. It was a Coast to Coast hardware store. It was old when I got it. We bought it for $7. It was made in about the 1910, 1920 range metal. I gave it to a friend of mine's son, and he's still shooting it today. And the first time I got to go out on the riverbank and shoot about 50 rounds through it, a little box of Wildcats, cost me about 45 cents for 50 rounds, shorts, shot them. My dad said, okay, you shot your first, your rifle, now you got to clean it. And as soon as I smell it, I see myself at the kitchen table. I can feel the texture of the chairs. I can feel the metal of the table, the coolness of the day, because it's Colorado. It was like 10 degrees outside. And I'm cleaning this rifle. And it all comes back to me in just a gush of memories. I love cleaning rifles for that point. So when I can take a young person and introduce them safely into it, just as my father did me, I don't care if they're my kid or not, I know I'm creating a memory that's going to last forever. And at the risk of sounding like an NRA commercial, because I despise the NRA for how they've sold out over the years, you have a duty as a shooter to share with others what you have, which means first you must know what you're doing. You must know your weapon. You must know how to safely use it. You have a responsibility. Yes, having a firearm is a right, but with every right comes a great responsibility and a duty. Nothing makes me madder than we train with a lot of other militias, more than you would think, considering where we are. And they all handle weapons terribly. And these guys that, oh, I was an engineer, oh, I was this, oh, I was that. And I'm like, well, stop pointing your barrel at me. You sweep me one more time, I'm going to knock you down. And I know there's a difference between, and those that are combat vets will tell you, well, when you're in combat, you don't worry about it. But when I'm on a range and I don't know your skill level and I haven't trained with you for 13 weeks, I haven't deployed with you and I don't know who you are, you better handle that weapon safely or I'm going to drop you with a forearm smash as I grab your weapon, because I'm sick of it. We've kicked people out of the church. We have kicked them out of church for this because they continually do stupid things with their weapons. You have a right, yes, but you have a responsibility. Did Stacy just post, you said duty? Somebody's... What did you drink when I left you down there for half an hour alone? Did you get into the vanilla extract again? Duty. Yeah, of course I said duty, but D-U-T-Y. Not the kind of duty you clean up after the dog. Oh, man. Hello, who do we have? You're live on the air.
Hey, this is Bobby. How you doing? I'm calling from way out in Florida.
Hey, Florida, Florida, Florida. Yes, I was supposed to get back to you today, and I didn't. I haven't heard from my buddy yet. What'd you want to call about? Do you want to talk about something on the air here?
No, not really. I just wanted to say I'm listening to you on the Internet, and I like your show.
Now, is it snowing in Florida? You guys got global warming down there, too?
Well, We got about 72, but I don't believe in that global warming stuff myself.
Oh, well, I guess you're not getting snow down there. I was hoping 72. Wow.
And not this far down, we ain't. But I like your show.
Thank you.
You guys are real correct about that safety on the gun range. That's real important.
Oh, yeah.
It's, and the reason they ain't worried about them Afghani people shooting at them is because they don't really have no training, and they can't shoot straight no way.
That's why training is key. Well, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Bobby's one of our Facebook listeners, and I appreciate you checking in.
Yes, I am. I enjoy your show, and I'm keep listening.
Okay, God bless Dixie.
God bless you.
Yeah, bye. Goodbye. That was nice. He's a new person that contacted us on Facebook. We've got over 700 people just on Facebook alone that listen over there off and on. They don't listen all the time, but that's part of the 1,960-some people that are habitual listeners of the Dutch Jones Radio Show. And we welcome Bobby. I don't know if he's probably not in the chat room yet. I can't tell who's all in the chat room, but get in the chat room. You can spread it around. Now, we don't know how many. We're trying to figure out when we co-host link with the folks at Liberty Tree Radio. We see two numbers up here. There's a 10, a slash, and a 44, and we don't know what that means. We assume that means there's 44 people in the other chat room.
10 out of 44 we can have.
10 out of 44, that's the most we can have? So there is a limit on how many listeners we can have.
So I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I think it's on it's probably bandwidth usage for the whole system on Ustream. We still haven't figured out Ustream, so we don't know. It doesn't cost anything, so that saved us several dollars a month, $20 or $30 a month that way. And since people listen around the clock, depending on their time zones, it's working out great. Yeah, that 1044, we don't know what that is. Now it says 1045. I was assuming that meant that Liberty Tree Radio had 44. Yeah, we have 10 in this chat room, and then we didn't know what that meant, what the 44 is. Like, that's how many we're allowed to have. And then we don't have our bot here. Yesterday, we had the bot, the Ustream bot, and everybody was all worried that it was some mind control bot. You have had a max of 44. Oh, so that means 40. Okay, I'm not sure. Oh, that's cool. So 10 in the chat room, 44 just listening, I guess. So that's great. That's good to know because the numbers are going up fast. Since we switched to... Okay, the big jump was from No Amendment Radio to Liberty Tree Radio, and then that quadrupled our listening. And then when we dumped You Broadcast because of all the problems we were having and went with Ustream, I know, everybody told us to. We were just dragging our feet. It went way up. I can't wait to see. I mean, January's numbers were pretty big. And Olima sent us the numbers for downloads. And, one day we had 1,004 downloads for one day from our podcast. So you pod people, I don't give you enough love. I am very thankful for our pod people. I know Mike, who got snowed in Michigan, he's a hospital worker. He told me that he was snowed in at his hospital there in Michigan, and he got stuck there, so he probably can't listen to us. Until he gets home, so he's going to listen whenever he gets dug out and can return to his abode. He can listen, so we welcome that. And there's nothing wrong with listening late. You just don't get to participate in the jovialness or call in. It's not like we get a lot of call-ins anymore. It's funny, I went through all the trouble to get this really neat device, and we get maybe one call in a week. But it works great with our guests, and that's the key. And we've got this new cell phone. And I went out and got the headset for it so that if we ever go down, no internet, I can call directly into Liberty Tree Radio. And I've got the number set up on the phone so that if we get wiped out on the internet up here because of fog again or rain, I'm just going to call Liberty Tree and do it over the phone. It'll be a few dollars to do it, but hey, at least we'll be on the air and I can get my diatribe out and you guys get your daily dose of the Jones. You won't be jonesing for the Jones show, as Lou puts it. So that's great. And there is no bot today. Huh?
I stole that from someone else. Though.
Who'd you steal that from? One of our listeners or another show?
One of our listeners.
It's probably Olima. Olima's always coming up with these quick little things like that. We don't get Skype here. We're on satellite, and the satellite company will not allow us to use Skype. They said it sounds like it's just terrible. It sounds like we're using some kind of encryption protocol.
No, it sounds like you're in a cave talking.
Yeah, we do. The phone that we will use is our cell phone, which is our backup phone. This is right here. I got one of those flip side phones, so I can do internet and all that stuff on it. And we've got all kinds of minutes on it, and we can call in. The reason I got it is our guests who want to call in, like Lane Lawless, who calls in. She's on a cell phone. Steve Klein's on a cell phone. I didn't want it to cost him because if he's AT&T calling AT&T, It's free. So that's good. So if Liberty Tree Radio has an AT&T phone we can call, our cell phone. But other than that, it's worth it. You know, if we have to do it a couple times a month or something, I like having that. I did have some questions this week. People have been asking me about the Golden Spike Project. I don't know anything about that. That's something that they talk about on the intelligence report, you know, with Mark Kornke. I don't know anything about that. You have to direct your questions to Liberty Tree Radio. I don't even know a contact number for it. I know they're using really what some people would think out of date technology, but it works. Minuteman's taking off. He's going on patrol. Good night, Minuteman. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to pack for the wedding. and yeah, alternate internet stuff. And it's I've been getting, it's weird. It's like all of a sudden, I guess because of what happened in Egypt, people are going, well, I've heard about this stuff. What do you know about it? I go, okay, I'm on Liberty Tree Radio, but I'm not like there in Michigan, and you know, and all I know is the same stuff you've heard from the show. From the show, it sounds great, it sounds awesome, but I'm not any part of that. Although I would like to be, but I think where I am.